If you'll open your Bible to the book of Ephesians, chapters 1, verses 3 and 4. Ephesians 1, 3 and 4. If you take notes, I've entitled the message, Cod Liver Oil. Cod Liver Oil. Now that might seem a strange title, but as we shall see, it really isn't. Before we look into our text, let's pray. Father, as we come to this most sacred text, we thank you first of all for it. We thank you, Lord, that we have this great promise, or these great promises. And I pray, Lord, all for me that comes from my mouth would be of you. And I pray, Lord, your Spirit would walk amongst us and would speak to every heart with this. I pray, Lord, that this hard lesson might be something that we would leave this place with, and that we might be praising you and glorifying you because of this lesson. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Ephesians 1, 3 and 4. Thus saith the Lord, Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. As I said, that opening, Cod Liver Oil, that title might sound a little strange, but I dare tell you there are legions of Christ's disciple who loathe the doctrine of election. They hate it. The words chosen and elect are like cod liver oil in their mouth. It's distasteful and they despise it. They claim it strips them of all their so-called free will. Even though we find in scriptures there really is no such thing as free will. For example, the Bible tells us that we are in Romans 6:16, Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants you are to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or obedience unto righteousness. You see, you come into this world and you're going to either serve sin, you're going to serve the world, or you're going to serve yourself. You are born a servant. And if God called you into his kingdom and you come to know Christ as your Savior, you're still a servant. Now you serve a risen Savior, Jesus Christ. Make no mistake about it. Free will is an illusion. All of us are influenced by something. It's just a question of what it is. And the Bible says in that passage in Romans 6:16, whether of sin unto death or obedience unto righteousness, there are two things you'll serve, sin or righteousness, but everybody serves. There is no exception. The fact is, election is a foundational doctrine, and I would dare tell you it's at the very core of Christianity. And here's why we know that's true. I wouldn't just say something unless I could back it up scripturally. To begin with, the doctrine of election was established when? It says in our text, before creation, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. What does that mean? That means the doctrine of election goes back before sin came into the world, before there was a world, before there was sin. The doctrine of election was here. That means that election predated the fall of the angels. Sin predated the fall of man. Election predated the fall of man and the advent of Christ. And it also predated the proclaiming of the gospel. Though understanding election is critical to understanding every one of the other doctrines. And I'll tell you why. Because apart from election, if there were no election, there would be no Israel. If there was no Israel, there would be no Christ. If there was no Christ, there would be no divine gospel. If there was no divine gospel, there would be no salvation. If there was no salvation, there would be no spiritual blessings. No spiritual blessings. We're all bound for hell. And if we're all bound for hell, then we wouldn't be here today talking about election. That's how important the doctrine of election is. It is everything. And let me add to that, that without the doctrine of election, none of you here would have ever heard of Jesus Christ. Without the doctrine of election, there's no Calvary. Without the doctrine of election, there's no Gospels or Apostles. And without the election, there would be no inspired Word of God. So you see, without election, that is, without God calling and choosing a people for His name, there wouldn't be any need for any other doctrines. None. Do you get that? Do you understand that? If you don't first have a calling, there's no sense in writing the book. And the only reason God has to choose people, the only reason why He has to call out a people for His name from every generation is because God on His own wants nothing to do with God. Man wants nothing to do with God. Nothing. He's estranged from Him. Ever since the fall in the garden, man has been running and hiding from God. The reason is simple, very simple. God wants to be God, and man wants to be God. It's just that simple. And because of that simplicity, because of that animosity, that hatred of God that man has because he wants to be God, there has always been and there will always be a generational war between man and God. Every generation will fight it. And I have proof verses for that. Romans 3:10 and 11, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seek after God. None. I tell you, if God didn't call you Himself, not one of you would be here right now. And listen to what John 5:40 says. This is Christ. He says, and you will not come to me that you might have life. That means if God didn't call you out and choose you individually, mankind, all of us, all of mankind would suffer the same fate as the angels, the fallen angels. No Savior, no hope, no escape from judgment, only eternal suffering. That's the lot if God had not called us out to Himself. I have a proof verse for that. Jude 1:6. And the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, He hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day. Nowhere in my Bible or in any translation that I've seen do I ever see an angel having a Savior. In God's economy, before mankind was made, when sin made its way into heaven, when an angel bought the lie that Satan bought, when they got all puffed up with pride, when that happened, if you fell, there was nowhere to go but down. There was no Savior. There was no cross. There was no excuse. Condemned. Period. And if God didn't have the doctrine of election, I tell you that the human race would be in the same situation as the angels were. So why is it so many professing Christians despise this doctrine? Now I want to raise my hand here and say I used to despise this doctrine. I did. I was taught to despise this doctrine. I don't think we all despise things unless we're taught it. And I was taught incorrectly. Why? Simple. Instead of the sweet taste of honey, the words chosen used to taste to me like cod liver oil. Ugh, chosen. Well, aren't we all chosen? Or how come I'm chosen and he's not chosen? Had no idea what chosen or elect really meant. Was never taught the real meaning of it. I learned it from the Holy Spirit. But let me tell you why most people detest the taste of the word election. free will, as I mentioned when I started. They think it takes away their free will. Let me tell you, Martin Luther, who wasn't a reformer, he wasn't a Calvinist, Martin Luther said free will is much ado about nothing, because he knew, he absolutely knew, as all Christians who eat meat knows, you don't have free will. You're going to be influenced by something in your life. It's either going to be sin, yourself, or the world, as I said before, but you're going to be influenced. And if you're influenced by it, you're a servant to it. Free will is one. Denominations. I believe with all my heart and soul that denominations come right from Satan's workbox. I do. I believe that with all my heart and soul. Most think it's unfair that God would choose some and pass by others. Why? How could that be? How could a loving God do that? Why would he do that? He's righteous. He's good. Why would he pass by some? Problem is, people that say that, they downplay or they completely ignore Romans 9:13, as it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. Let me tell you something. When I first got saved, I remember I was saved maybe a couple of years, and I was sitting, and the pastor was talking about that text, and he says, well, let me tell you what that means. Hated means it's just another word for he had a lower feeling for Esau than he did Jacob. That's not what it says. It says he hated him. And if it was going to be a different word, Greek's such a wonderful language, a rich language, they would have used another word. That's what it means. It means God hated him. So they downplay Romans 9:13. And in Romans 19:14 and 15, let me tell you what the Holy Spirit adds to that section about Jacob have I loved and Esau have I hated. He says, what shall we say then? And this is the questions a lot of denominations have. Is there unrighteousness with God? God forbid. For he saith to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. Write this down somewhere. There's pencils in the pew box. Ezekiel 18:4. Very simple. It says, all souls are mine. As creator, he is the potter, and every single human life is nothing in his hands but clay. Period. And as creator, he has the sovereign right, he has the legal right to do whatever he wants with that clay. That's where denominations, that's what they forget. The sovereignty of God. And I dare say you forget the sovereignty of God. Don't even bother opening your Bible, because it'll do you no good. He's sovereign. And as a sovereign God, he's free to do as he wants. No human being ever has a claim on him. Everything he does for us, he does it because he loves us. Period. Arminians. There's another reason why Christians despise this doctrine. There are a huge group of Christians that hate the idea, they just can't stand the idea that God would save them without including them in the program. They don't like it. I want to make the decision. You give me the offer and I'll decide if I want to come to heaven or not. Or if I want to go to hell, I'll decide that. Thank you very much. That's basically the concept of Arminian. And I want to tell you this so you know. I was these people. I was in a denomination that thought that way. I was an Arminian. I believe that. Well, I made the decision. I made the walk. I said the prayer. Hey, come on. Until the Holy Spirit opened up my eyes to the sovereignty of God. And I was in a Bible class. A personal evangelism class, a mandatory class taught by a denomination, a Baptist denomination, I might add, and I probably shouldn't have said that, but I did. And the pastor who was teacher said, if somebody puts it on your heart to go and speak to somebody about salvation, and you don't do it, and you read the paper a couple days later, and that person dies, what does that mean? And everybody looked at each other, and I had no idea what the answer was. So finally, when he saw no one was going to answer, he said, it means that man's blood is on your hands. And right away, I knew something was wrong. I knew it was wrong. So I slipped up my hand. I said, I have a question, Pastor. He said, what's that? I said, does your God make a mistake? He said, no. I said, well, in the example you just gave, he made a mistake. Because if that man went to hell because of me, I was supposed to go and give him the salvation message so that your God could save him, then your God made a mistake because he sent the wrong man, me. We have nothing to do with our salvation, beloved. I dare say there is a host, a huge host of people that would stand in a doorway and take this Bible and beat me half to death with it to show they were that there is a choice to be made. Let me tell you what the Bible says. Arminians always forget Christ's words. John 13:18. I speak not of you all. Listen, I know whom I have chosen. John 15:16. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. And they've overlooked Ephesians 2:1. This is the big one they overlook. I overlooked it. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. Let me tell you something. The word in there, dead, means dead. And I can tell you something. Dead never made a decision. Dead is dead. Period. There's no other way of interpreting that without taking scriptures and wresting them out of place. If you're spiritually dead because of the fall, because of your sin, you cannot make a choice for God. You cannot do that. And if that doesn't convince you, how about this? Arminians like to disregard the verse of verses about salvation, Ephesians 2:8 and 9. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest anybody should boast. Beloved, I don't know how anybody can read that verse and say, I made the decision. I mean, that means that if that's really true, that I made the decision or you made the decision, let me tell you what will happen. I'll go to heaven, because I am a little forthright, as some of you know. I'll go to heaven and say, Father, thank you for saving me. I'll go up to my Lord Jesus and I'll say, Lord Jesus, thank you for dying for me. But you know what? I get a pat on the back because I made the decision. That sound like your God? Certainly doesn't sound like my God. Doesn't sound like the God of Jacob and Israel. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Arminians, denominations, and those who are afraid of losing their precious free will. People who like works. That has nothing to do with election. It has to do with man. So you see, regardless of why any Christian thinks election tastes like cod liver oil, it doesn't take away the fact that election is a core foundational doctrine that every other doctrine in Scripture builds on. And so that means if your view of salvation, election, which is the same, or predestination, which is a part of that, if your view is skewed, then that means your doctrine is cracked. That means that you're taking this book and everything in it, and all the doctrines, and you're building it on a foundation that is not sound. It's cracked. Because it's a core. Election is a core doctrine. In our text, for example, we see that election is the treasure fountain of all spiritual blessings. Look at our text. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Semicolon. According as he has chosen us in him, when? Before the foundation of the world. That means before the worlds were formed, Ray. He knew you. He wrote the book of the Lamb's Book of Life. It was before the worlds were formed. And how could he write it? How could he write it if he didn't choose those whose name were going to go in it? Now, the common answer to that is, well, he foreknew it. Well, if he foreknew it, then he's probably up in heaven right now, and he's got the scribes with the Lamb's Book of Life, and the books are open, and he's saying, okay, I want you to wait, because this guy's ready. I can tell he's ready to get saved. He's ready to make the decision. That's a reactionary God. That's a God who says, you move, and then I'll move. See, God, man always wants to be God. He's always trying to circumvent God's sovereignty with his own. It's a sin. And it's wrong. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. You can't take that any other way than to say that you were chosen before the foundation of the world, period. There's no other interpretation of that. And let me tell you some of the benefits besides the blessings. That means that that our text tells us that because you were chosen, because you were called out, God has prepared blessings for you that you can't even imagine. And they're all yours. He doesn't give them to everybody. Why? Because not everybody is his children. That's another thing that causes people to get cod liver oil agita. Because they don't believe that. But the Bible makes it clear. We're not all God's kids. Go in a concordance and look up enemies. Just look up God's enemies. Better yet, look through the Old Testament. Everybody there that wasn't Israel, and even not all of Israel wasn't Israel, they were all his enemies. You see, another reason people don't like election is because it demonstrates the sovereignty of God. That's why. Election reveals that God will break down the opposition that's in every human heart. He breaks it down. He subdues the carnal mind and that hatred for God. He subdues it in each and every one of us. And with an irresistible power, he draws his chosen ones to Christ. I want to tell you how that works. That's so simple. And I got to use myself because I can't use anybody else. I'll use myself. I didn't want to get saved. I didn't want to know God. God, I told my wife when she started getting real religious after her operation, I said, you know what? You want God? Go find him. Don't bring him home. I don't want him. And I didn't. I really didn't. But I got to tell you, when my heart was broken because I realized that I was a sinner and I needed a Savior, without getting into the details of it, there was nothing in this world I wanted more. Nothing. I realized that I needed a Savior, that I was on my way to hell. That is a stirring. And then when I submitted myself to Christ, when I said, no, Lord, thy will be done, no more my will be done. When that happened, I knew that I was his elect, and I knew that I no longer was on that journey to hell. And it was because he called me, and there was nowhere else I wanted to be but with him. And to this very day, 17 years later, a man who, I won't say I was an atheist, but a man who ridiculed God, an enemy of the cross, I might even say I was, changed because he called me with a call that I could not resist. And I want to tell you something. If you don't think God's call is irresistible, okay, then that means that you're sovereign over him. Imagine this. Imagine Jesus standing at Lazarus' tomb with all the people around him. And he said, remove the stone. And he did. And then Jesus said, Lazarus, come forth. Now imagine if Lazarus was laying in the ground saying, you know what? I don't think I'm going to go yet. I'm really getting a rest here. The same thing applies with you and me. When he calls you, it's an irresistible call. every single one of you have a testimony of how he called you. You may not know the exact time or date, but it was a calling on your life. That's what election is. You were chosen. You were called. People don't like election because it demonstrates the sovereignty of God. Election turns God-haters into adopted sons and daughters who cry out, Abba, Father. And election declares that repentance and faith are God's gifts, not something the sinner contributes to. We don't contribute anything. When you come to this Lord's Supper, what do you put in? What do you bring? Nothing. When you went to Calvary, what did you bring? Your sins, period. God is a sovereign God, and he doesn't require anything from you except obedience and holiness. Election is also the key element in salvation. To begin with, Jesus Christ, the Redeemer. Did you know that Jesus Christ was chosen himself? Proof verse, 1 Peter 2:6. Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Jesus wasn't afraid to be called chosen. He knew he was. And all who shall ever be saved, I tell you, or Scripture tells you, are elected in him, given to him by the Father. I'm referring to Christ. And our text declares chosen in him before the foundation of the world. If that is something that you don't agree with, then you need to get back to Scripture and read it the way it's intended to be read. Not the way a denomination wants you to read. Not the way the old man wants you to read it. You read it the correct way. And you can't come away from that without realizing that if the chief cornerstone was called, then you're called too. As a matter of fact, the election of God's people to salvation, there was only one reason for the election. There was only one reason for Christ's birth, wasn't there? There was only one reason for his ministry. There was only one reason for his torture. By man, by the devil, and by God laying all of our sins on his back. There was only one reason. It was for the doctrine of election. It was so that you could sit here and say, I am a chosen child of God. And I tell you all this because I want you to know something. You have no idea how special you are. And because no one in this world maybe makes you feel special, maybe you don't even make yourself feel special, you are. Because you are an elect, chosen child of God that was elected to his kingdom before the earth was even formed. As a matter of fact, the eternal purpose of God was always the saints, because you were always on his mind. Always. And without the doctrine of election, Jesus didn't have to go through any of the things that he went through. And I also would tell you that election is the reason the scriptures are given to us. The Holy Word is used to call out the elect. Ministers are sent out, and evangelists and people are sent out to preach the good news of Jesus Christ. And through the scriptures, men are taught about God. They're drawn to the Father. They're regenerated by the Holy Spirit. They're made partakers of faith. They're endued with the spirit of adoption, the spirit of prayer, and the spirit of holiness. And I would add that as a consequence of election, men are made obedient to the gospel. You'd never submit your knee to God if he didn't first give you a new heart. You would never have done that. So you see, had there been no divine election, there would be no salvation. Nothing. I have a proof verse for that. I want to say that again. Without divine election, there would be no divine salvation. Romans 9:29. Except the Lord of the Sabbath had left us a seed. That seed is Christ. We had been as Sodom and been made like unto Gomorrah. We'd be dead. We'd be like the angels. As a matter of fact, if you want a picture of what that's like, go back to Genesis 6. and go back to the time when there were only 8 people on this earth that were called. And you know, the other thing about election that gets me is I never hear anybody who has a problem with it say, well, what happened to all the millions of people that were outside of Israel in the Old Testament? If you were outside of Israel, Paul said that you were strangers from the covenant of promise, without hope and without God in the world. That meant that, and not all of Israel was saved, but that meant if you were not part of that covenant with Israel, you were lost. And I dare say the same is even true today, if you're not part of the covenant with Christ. And I just want to talk about a few of the blessings that come from being chosen. You know, if the governor of the state of Connecticut, which I hope it never happens, if he appointed me to be, if he appointed me to some office, you know, I'd probably say, well, look, hey, the governor appointed me. That's a big deal. Or if the president of the United States appointed you, that's probably a little less of a deal, but you get the idea, okay? But you imagine the king, the sovereign king of the world, has appointed you to an office. He's appointed every one of you that know Christ as your Savior to an office. God Almighty, Elohim, the Almighty Creator, has appointed you, Brendan, to an office. How special is that? Just the thought that my Creator knows me, that He loves me, and that He called me is the greatest thing that ever happened in my life. Nothing trumps it. Absolutely nothing trumps that. I go through my day every day. I sometimes have good days. I have bad days. But spiritually speaking, I'm on top of everything, because I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that He is able to continue what He has started in me. And that should be the same thing with all each and every one of you. To know that He loves me, knows me, and calls me is the greatest thing that ever happened in my life. Then when I throw on top of that, to know that I can claim His promises in His Word, that He's enlightened my mind spiritually so I can get this. To know that Romans 8:28 is mine every day. I can go to Romans 8:28 every single moment of the day and every day of my life. Let me ask you, what's that worth? How much of a blessing, if you had to put a number on that, what would you put on that? And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. What's that, do you think? If you could go out there and sell that, if you could sell that blessing right there and say to somebody, no matter what happens, I'll make sure it works out to your good. What do you think they pay for that? And because I'm an elect child of God, Romans 8:31 and 33 is there to help me deal with all of the problems I have. Listen, if God be for me, who can be against me? Claim Him. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? I'm not even scratching the surface of this stuff. And lastly, the doctrine of election is a great promoter of holiness. That's something we can all use. Holiness, according to the divine purpose of God's elect, they're destined to a holy calling. The whole purpose of election is that you will be holy. Proof first, 2 Timothy 1:9, who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works. You hear that, Arminians? Not according to your works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. We're called with a holy calling. And our holy calling is accomplished in several ways. But it's the first thing He did. He separates us from the ungodly world. Then He writes His law on our hearts. He seals us with the Spirit. He makes us partakers of His divine nature. And then we become the temple of God, living sacrifices, and we're led by the Spirit of God. I tell you, dear children of God, election is this glorious transformation of character and conduct that each and every saint goes through. doctrine of election is what allows us to wash our robes in the blood of the Lamb. For us, old things have passed away and all things are new. And as Paul reminds us in Philippians 3:14, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. It is the doctrine of election that transforms us from sinners to kings and priests unto God. And in the fullness of time, every saint will be adorned with the crowns of glory. And all of that, everything I just said, all of it is the result of the glorious doctrine of election. So now that you've heard what God's word is on the subject, let me ask you, how many of you have still the taste of cod liver oil in your mouth when you say the word election, called? God does more than stir our hearts. Whose hearts did he stir? He stirred Judas Iscariot's heart, but he didn't call him. He used him. He stirred Demas's heart. He stirred Pharaoh's heart. He didn't call him, but he used him. But if you're sitting here and you've accepted Christ as your Savior, then you are an elect, and your election was made far before the worlds were formed. And you are most blessed because this book of application of spiritual blessings, is yours to understand and to apply in your life every day. And I tell you, standing here in the few years that I've been saved, I tell you, it is a sin. It is an S-I-N to take a book that is so filled with blessings for you and let it sit on a shelf, especially since it was bought with the blood of your Savior, that you would have this and all the joy that's in this book will be yours if only you'll take the time to look at it. Get out of the denominations. Get out of the free will thought. Get out of the all the things that keep you from understanding that God is sovereign in everything. Because if he is not, then he's not God. The God of Jacob and Israel, the God of the scriptures, he's a sovereign God. And he calls, he chooses. Nowhere do we find anybody talking about salvation who make the choice. Even when Joshua said, as for me and my family, we will follow the Lord. It wasn't about salvation. You're going to walk with the Lord or not. That's what he was talking about. If you know Christ as your Savior, when you leave here today, I'll tell you what, you may not even need your car to get home. You may want to run home. Because I'll tell you, what you have is just so very precious. And likewise, I would say for those of you that don't know Christ as Savior, what you don't have is so terribly important that you really need to ask God to open your heart. You need to ask God to come into your life. You need to go to Calvary. And here's where the rubber hits the road, whoever you are. You have to bend your knee to God. You have to get over yourself. And you have to say, not my will be done, but thy will be done. Because you know what? Whoever you are, if you don't know Christ as Savior, you're not guaranteed you're going to walk out of that door. Because none of us are guaranteed that. So now is the day of salvation. Now is the time to submit yourself to God. And to ask him to save your soul. And if you don't think that's true, when you go home today, just open up your Bible, Revelation 14:11. Read the text and then put yourself there, because that's what will happen. May God grant his children to understand the blessedness of the doctrine of election and how that is so central to every other doctrine. Let's pray. Father, this is a hard lesson. I remember when I first learned it, how I struggled against it, Lord. And Lord, I'm just so pleased that you opened up your word to it. It wasn't by men who taught me this, Lord. It was by your Spirit alone. I thank you, Father. And I pray, Lord, if there's one here today who knows not Christ as Savior, that you would draw them to yourself. And I pray, Lord, for my brothers and sisters, that you would take this doctrine of election, this most blessed doctrine, Lord, and you would let them see the blessings they have in it, and you would help them to use this doctrine, Lord, to glorify you, our sovereign God. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen. Our closing hymn.